Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday. And oh my. Oh, we got started with our substitute correspondent, Shantice, who brought us the socially conscious segment in the absence of our girl Vivian. And we talked about the Georgia mom who had her daughters on the school bus, and they were, they got into some kind of altercation, and the bus driver did absolutely nothing, kept on driving as though there was nothing going on behind her. And we mulled over the idea. Yeah, you know, these days and times, it's kind of hard to make the decision to get involved because we just don't know what will go on, and these children are attacking adults and murdering them, and, you know, so sometimes somebody might, you know, contemplate stepping back. But I'm sorry. You got to do your job. You're hired to do a job. And we know you can't quite drive the bus at the same time as men and the children, but you got to figure out a way to get it done. Or you might not need that job. Yeah, that might not be your calling. If that's the kind of decision that you have a difficulty, you know, if you're having some difficulty making, I may have to kind of get bumped off there. Change occupations. All right. Shantice also brought us the story about the Love and Hip Hop Hollywood star, if you will, who I think Hazel E. And she is ridden now with all kinds of cosmetic surgeries. And now the social media group is saying, hey, you don't love yourself. And she's fighting back. Yes, she is. She went on to say that, you know, having a baby close to 40 ain't an easy thing, and her body is not cooperating the way she would really like to see it look. And so, therefore, you know, she had to get some adjustments made. Then so be it. Hey, don't judge me. Well, that ended up in a really nice conversation over here on his Due Time with Pastor Steph, as Pastor Steph and Shantice and the other ladies got to talking about, you know, these cosmetic surgeries and, you know, just being satisfied, if you will, with what the Lord has given you. And, you know, if we need to make some modifications in weight and things like that, then let's do it the old-fashioned way. Yes, let's make sure that we, you know, kind of do things, work hard at this, and not give up so easily. You know, and some of us do have to admit that, you know, we start off and then we fizzle when, you know, the scale isn't saying what we wanted to say or the clothes don't fit the way we want it to fit. You know, we're getting older, so it's going to take a little more work. It'll take a little more work, okay? Well, we had a wonderful, wonderful talk with the ladies yesterday. And the conversation was ways to keep a grateful attitude no matter what. And that was the key, no matter what. You know, you keep a grateful attitude when everything is going okay. But how can you keep a grateful attitude when things are all twisted, people ain't acting right, and you really wish that you could have it another way? Well, one of the things we talked about was just remembering that we're not self-made. No. You know, there is a God, and that's the God we serve. And he has helped us to get to where we are. You know, so you got to be grateful, because whether he's doing something directly with us or whether he's sending someone, you know, to help us, either way, it's God. Because they wouldn't be helping us if God did not put it on their heart to do so. Okay? Oh, I love this, the gratitude when you expect nothing in return. That was a big one. That was a big one. And that one is hard. That one is hard, especially when you're giving of yourself. And it's not that you're kind of, you know, really expecting something in return, but let's just say it would be nice to see some gratitude in the house. All right? What about weighing a small gift? Like that one. Like that one, you know, just making sure that although it's not a big thing that's being done, it's all those little things that actually make it happen. So you know what? We gotta be grateful. Keep and stay grateful over the little things that go on in our life. Okay? All righty. Because what's little for you really might be big for someone else. So we got to keep things in its proper perspective. You know, a small thing is a big thing. And when we start acting like a small thing ain't nothing but a small thing, we might be in a bit of trouble. All righty. So that's just some of the things we talked about yesterday. Very good show, I might say. So today is Therapeutic Thursday. And oh, my, we got some stuff to talk about today. And therapy is what's needed for what we got coming. So we're going to see if we can pull out all of our counselors and our therapists and, you know, get some advice going based on what the Lord has given us. You know, he's so grateful, so gracious, excuse me, that he's put us on this side of the week. And, you know, he didn't have to do it, but he did. So we want to definitely say thank you for that big thing. Because every day we wake up with God's brand new tender mercies. So, you know, that's another opportunity to get it right. Because when we think about what we did yesterday, maybe even the day before, you know, it may not be something that God was pleased with, but he woke us up anyhow. What about that? What about that? We didn't even treat one another properly. And God is just still doing his thing in our life. So we have so much to be grateful for. All right? So it's about that time that we get that little break. Make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. And make sure you tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
I'll admit it. I've kept a few secrets from my wife.
My husband still doesn't know the real story about that dent in the van.
I've never told her that I used to be a lifeguard at a nude beach.
I've never told my kids about the time I was arrested for streaking.
My sons don't know that I still sleep with my teddy bear.
But they all do know one thing about me.
And that I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
And that's one thing that's too important to keep a secret. Because I could save somebody's life. How cool is that?
Well, good morning again, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And, yes, this month is Donate Life Awareness Month. Yes, you know, we've talked about, you know, being an organ donor, and it was a very good conversation, as a matter of fact, where, you know, we flipped some people, you know, people that were on the fence. Decided, you know, hey, I'm going to go ahead and do this thing and save a life, you know, or give someone, you know, something that I can no longer use once God, you know, shuts it all down for me. And, you know, prayerfully, you know, we won't be, you know, like my mom, who had nothing to offer. Yeah, that poor little body. It had taken such a beating, you know, even if she had signed up to be an organ donor, man, I don't know if she'd be able to give a toe when it was over on January 25th. So, you know, let's take care of ourselves so that we can bless other lives. You know, we just don't even have one thing to offer. But, you know, with the way technology is moving, you know, it's a possibility that more and more things can be used from, you know, our body once, you know, again, once God closes our eyes. We want a definitely blessing to one another. Okay? So today is Therapeutic Thursday. And we're going to be talking about our health, whether it's our physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual health, financial health, whatever it is, we talk about it all here on It's Due Time. And get those pens up. Yeah, get those pens up. There's some information that I think you're going to find very interesting, you know, especially as we're getting older or parents are getting older, some of the things, you know, may look like dementia. But in actuality, it may not be. So they say there are a few medical problems that can mimic dementia, but actually it's not. Okay, so the first thing they talk about, medication interactions or side effects. We've talked about this here recently and how you take your medication and, you know, it has some side effects that you're not even aware of. Make sure you read that paper that gets printed and attached to the bag that your meds come in. Because, man, you'll be in for a surprise when you don't see how it's affecting you or what's happening to you. That's what we're talking about this morning. Things that are happening to you that you don't even realize is a side effect from the med. So you want to make sure that, you know, it doesn't imitate things like dementia, and now people think you kind of losing it and you're not. And some of the things, some of the side effects could be urinary incontinence, some levels of pain, anxiety and allergies, loss of memory. Yes, I've personally experienced that one. A heavy level of fatigue. And when you put all this stuff together, you know, these are signs of dementia. Remember, putting it all together, not just, you know, I see one little thing and now, you know, mom or dad is talking kind of sideways. You know, that urinary tract infection, man, that thing is a monster. You know, again, you know, we experienced that where every time we turned around, you know, there was another urinary tract infection, and there was some hallucinating going on, and there was some, you know, funny acting going on. When the thyroid meds were off, mom became real sluggish. She was slow to, like, respond to you. Yeah, that's what kind of got her out of here to the doctor, to the emergency room, because for a while we were watching her kind of deteriorating. She was a talker, and when you would speak, she was like real kind of out of it, like wouldn't respond and things like that. And you know, somebody might be saying, you know, hey, you know, mom or dad has some signs of dementia coming on. And when we found out she had a urinary tract infection and her thyroid meds were off, and both of those things individually caused dementia type activity, and now think about those things put together. So be careful. Think about the meds. Are the meds doing what they're supposed to do, or are they doing more than what they're supposed to be doing? Okay. Two, they're saying a respiratory infection. Yeah, they say respiratory infections are harder to diagnose in people 65 and older because they're more likely to lack classic symptoms such as a fever or a cough. And they really paid attention to this while this COVID was running so high and rampant. And they said that a lot of emergency room visits had people complaining about delirium. And that wasn't a typical COVID symptom. Yeah, so be careful. You know, certain infections and things we get send off other signals, affect us in different ways. And make sure, you know, you don't think that mom or dad has, or grandma has that that dementia. Just might be from that respiratory infection and what's happening with the body. Okay? All right. Number three, there's that UTI. They say a urinary tract infection. You know, that's a cause of delirium and dementia-like symptoms. See, I just told you. I watched it personally. And they say men are also more likely to experience UTIs as they age. And we always watch the women. But men, they say as you age, you can come across this common illness. Okay. They say in older adults, some of the warning signs that help us make a correct diagnosis are altered or absent. Okay. So, for example, an older adult with a UTI might experience a mental status change without a fever or burning with urination. See, told you. There was no fever, and she didn't complain about any burning. Yeah, you know, but it was there. All right. 4, they say sleep problems or disturbed sleep. Well, listen, if you got sleep problems or your sleep is disturbed, oh, you're going to be all twisted after a while. Trust me, you might be able to rock for a little while, but after a while, we all get dementia-type symptoms when we don't get proper rest, okay? So they say a good night's rest is essential for protecting the brain as you age. Yeah. Okay. They say sleep gives our brain time to learn, store memories, and filter out toxic substances. So if you're disturbed or you have insomnia, you may experience dementia-like symptoms such as trouble focusing, confusion, mental fatigue, and irritability. Man, ding, 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 ding. Yeah, it's out there. It's out there. So imagine when you don't take your nap, or, you know, you got to keep going, you know, or you go and drink some Red Bull thinking it's going to do the job, or coffee. Have you ever had that? I was talking to Shanti the other day. It's like your brain is on 150 and your body is like on 2. And, oh, my goodness, if that's not the most annoying feeling. It's like your body is saying, I need sleep. And your brain is saying, what's next? Man, you be all jacked up. Yes, 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 yes. They also talk about sleep apnea. Okay, and they say a sleep-related breathing problem that can deprive your brain of the oxygen it needs while you sleep. And that causes long-term damage. And over time, you know, again, you know, if your sleep is disturbed while you're sleeping and you're constantly getting up, or you're breathing, you know, you feel like you're choking, or gasping for air, yeah, you may want to get that checked out. I've known children to have sleep apnea. So can you imagine that going undiagnosed for how long and you're not getting the proper oxygen to your brain, and you're a young person? Imagine that. So think about older people. Now you know, you're all out of it. All right. Dehydration, 5. Dehydration, they say, can also look like dementia, and it's very common in older individuals. They say as you age, your body's ability to retain water in blood vessels decreases, and your thirst mechanism isn't as strong. So it's easy to get dehydrated without realizing it, especially if you take diuretics or laxatives. That can really push you into water loss. So they say if someone you love seems foggy or confused, check to see if their urine is dark yellow or brown, which can indicate a lack of fluids. Remember, we talked about that. You know, when you go to the bathroom, what does that say about your body? And they say another sign of severe dehydration is a white coating on the tongue. Yeah. Okay. All right. 6, normal pressure. Now, I got to get this. Hydrocephalus. Ah, hydrocephalus. Now, they're saying normal pressure, hydrocephalus, and that's H-Y-D-R-O, for those of you who are writing, C-E-P-H-A-L-U-S. Let me give it to you again. H-Y-D-R-O-C-E-P-H-L-U-S. Okay. They say that is a treatable disorder in which cerebrospinal fluid accumulates in the brain, disrupting and damaging nearby brain tissue and causing cognitive problems. Okay. So they say it's treatable by a neurologist, and but what they've seen is some of the indicators that you have this normal pressure hydrocephalus imitates and mimics dementia. So if you think, you know, mom or dad or grandma or granddad have, you know, if you think they have dementia, they say, you know, make sure you go to the doctor and get, you know, a thorough physical. They say other conditions that can mimic dementia or Alzheimer's, heart, lungs, liver, or kidney, thyroid problems. They say a sodium or vitamin B12 deficiency, some cancers, pain, constipation, heavy alcohol use, and depression. So this dementia thing is no joke. No joke. Okay, so you know, if this came across you today and it kind of sounded an alarm for you, I'm happy. Is that way you can give the proper attention to the right things. Okay? All righty. Well, what kind of news we got today? Well, I don't know what's going on with these people. We've definitely heard about the people giving, remember a couple of months ago we talked about, you know, this guy who played a joke on the, I think, his sister's wedding, and he, you know, gave them some edibles without knowing it, and, you know, the people were dancing more or overly happy and things like that, you know, these edibles that were mixed with marijuana. I guess that's what edibles are, right? Well, they say a bride in Florida and a caterer was arrested for lacing wedding food with weed. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with people. You know what? You can't even eat at a wedding and it's catered. You know, you got to worry about more than whether their hands were clean. Goodness gracious. Well, they say that a Florida bride and a caterer, they were arrested for spiking the food, such as lasagna, with this weed. And they say after eating the marijuana baked goods at this wedding, the guests started staggering and they felt stoned, as they say. And really weird. And some people thought they were having a heart attack. Some were vomiting and needed to be taken to the nearest hospital. Everybody ate the food. Everybody ate the food. And when they, what happened was, you know, when you have an outbreak of any kind, you know, the first thing they do is they take the leftover food and they have it, you know, dissected, you know, to see what's in the food, to see if somebody poisoned you. And because remember, if 9-10 people or everybody in the room got sick, they're automatically going to the food or the beverage. Well, when they did, they found out that the lasagna, brownies, and the chocolate-covered strawberries, as well as the alcohol pudding shots, all had this marijuana in it. And as they did the research and spoke to the servers, they found out that Miss Jocelyn Bryant of Jocelyn's Southern Kitchen was also a part of the scheme, that this bride hired her and they concocted this scheme to put the marijuana in the food. Now, I would like to say I don't think that was a caterer's suggestion. I wasn't there, so I don't know. But come on. They say the bride knew all about it, and when they found out, they arrested the both of them. So, you know, even if you had the caterer that said, you know, yo, I got some good such and such a thing here, you know, how about we try that? I want to let all of you know that bride was not on our side of the fence, but the caterer was. So, you know, I don't know, y'all. Sounds a little flaky to me. You know, again, you know, this guy did it to his sister's, at his sister's wedding. And I think it was a cake that they laced with weed. And my thing is, you know, here these people felt like they were having a heart attack. Some people were throwing up, and some people had to be taken to the emergency room. Can you imagine what they must have felt and thought when they found out that it was the bride's idea, or she was knowledgeable of the food being laced? Are you serious? You know, you're supposed to be my friend or my loved one, you know, my family. These are people who you're inviting to your wedding. These are supposed to be people that you love and care about. How could this be a plan? I don't understand. What happened to old-fashioned fun? Let's do the conga line or something. I don't know. What happened, y'all? So, you know, they're going to be charged. They're not taking this lightly. Because you know what? You could have killed somebody. You really could have killed someone. All right. So Michelle Obama has a brother, and he is suing her brother and her sister-in-law are suing the children's school for expelling them. And they go to school in Milwaukee, and they say that the children got kicked out of school as a retaliation for the parents complaining about racial bias. And they started making some noise when they saw things in the school that was not going right. And they got sick of it, and they started, you know, calling it attention to this behavior. And they were on Good Morning America, and they were really laying it out, and they talked about how there was racial and ethnic stereotypes in the assignments. And we've done stories like that, you know, where, you know, the assignments were biased against the African American community, or, you know, a teacher made, you know, some type of racial statement against the student. And as I kept reading the article, man, I was blown away. Now, the two children are 11 and 9. Now, they expelled the older son in April of 2021 and the younger one in June of 21. And I guess they were waiting for the kids to maybe do something that they could claim was intolerable. So they would put them, you know, they could put them out. So he says that he and his wife approached the school about their concerns. And after a while, they started putting the kids out. and they felt immediately that it was retaliation because the children hadn't done anything. They say the children had never had any report to the school, that no one had ever complained about, you know, the children misbehaving or anything. And what are you putting them out for all of a sudden? So they started telling, what's her name? The one, Robin, from Good Morning America. They started breaking stuff down to her. And they were saying how the punishments were harsher for the black students when they were reprimanding them for, you know, certain things that they did than their white counterparts. And they said that they've been watching, and they noticed that as the other parents are speaking up, that they too have children who recently have been retaliated against. So it's not just their children. And that's what really made them come up and out to Good Morning America. But here's what really caught my attention. When they told the story about something that happened in the school, and they said that, hold on now, I want to make sure I get this story correct. Well, first of all, before I even say that, I want to let you know that they are a mixed couple. So this is what really makes this story kind of interesting, because she's also complaining about the racial bias. So, excuse me, she, as, you know, a parent is watching this treatment of the children, and she's speaking up. But it was something that they did in the school. It was an assignment. Oh, here we go. They say that back some time, this particular school had the fourth graders reenact the Underground Railroad, and the students dressed up as slaves and ran through the school in the dark, and the teachers were actually the slave masters who captured the students. Oh, my gosh. Really, y'all? Really? They said it's been some time that, you know, since it's happened. But this is the kind of stuff that they've been enduring for quite some time, and they're tired of it. And again, you know, here we go. How you got these kids reenacting the Underground Railroad, and the kids are dressed up like slaves and running through the school in the dark? Did y'all really turn off the school lights? Is that what y'all did? So that means that the school principal, aide, what do you call those people? The security staff, if they got that. All of these people, principal, everybody had to be in on this. If you shut the school lights out, you put the school in the dark. You know what? I tell you. What else is next? Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. And I'm saying, oh, my Lord. You know, we just come up against all kinds of stuff here. So that's why they're making all of this stink, because they've been going through all of this kind of stuff. And they said with the expelling of the children, this really just put the icing on the cake for them. Yeah. Woo! Okay, I got one more. Now, we've been talking about the Rikers Island situation and how they have been going buck wild over there, and how quite some, you know, months ago, back in the beginning of the year, how these prisoners were just dying supposedly without any warning. Or they don't know why. They would just go and find these guys dead in their cells. Well, they have, I guess, you know, this has been going on for a while, and we know this. And they've been trying, they've been talking about shutting Rikers Island down for quite a few. They've been talking about shutting Rikers Island down for over 10 years. But ain't nobody closed this place yet. And now the FBI have decided to step in because they want to know what exactly is going on. Well, your friend Mayor Eric Adams is crying. Let me fix it. Let me fix it. Give me a chance to fix it. How are you stepping in? And I just started in January, and I haven't had a chance, you know, to fix this problem. And listen to what he said. Please let me fix the problem because, let me get this right, because, you know, I don't like to misquote these people. Here we go. We're 4 months in. Give me, quote, we're 4 months in. Give me an opportunity. And why not give me an opportunity must be what they want to say. They look like me. Oh, no. So he says, give me an opportunity. And why give me an opportunity? Because they look like me. I want them to be able to serve their time with dignity, come home, and be productive citizens in society. I'm the only man in history that sat in a jail cell when I was arrested as a child, so I know what they're going through. Where? What you doing? Now that the people are stepping in, now you want to let me fix it. They look like me. I know what they're going through. And he also said something to the effect of, you know, and everybody who, all the people who's running, who officially run Rikers Island, don't look like them. So you know what he's trying to say, right? You know what, y'all? I'm so tired of him. What is this, April? And I am so tired of him. Why you got to be the one get up in there talking all of this stuff? Had you done anything, the FBI probably would not be involved. Because, you know, any little bit of something is enough to shut these people up. But you've done nothing. You allowed these correction officers to be fired because they did not vaccinate, and you lost personnel, and the other ones who refused to vaccinate and walked off on their own helped the decrease of personnel. You couldn't even control the place when it was fully loaded with workers. They were out of control. We know that they're the ones bringing a lot of that contraband in. Because let me tell you something, all that stuff that goes on in there and gets up in there, that ain't the visitors only. No, because half the people too scared to go to jail if they get caught. So you got the brave ones along with what do they call them, the bravest. So, you know, come on, the boldest. That's what they call the New York City's boldest. So now you up there crying because they don't give you a chance. Give me a chance. Why give me a chance? Because I look like them. Yo, did you say that? They look like me. You know what? Is that the best you could come up with? Now, if you want to throw out, you know, it's only been a few months. It's only been 4 months. You know, the New York City subway system is in a chaotic state. You know, I walked in on this COVID thing. Yo, you could have said 900 things, but you say that. Now, maybe y'all don't find nothing wrong with saying that, but I do, because that ain't got nothing to do with it. So, you know what? It's time to talk to my crew, and I'm going to do this in order in which they arrived. So my brother Al is the first one on the scene. Good morning, brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. Good morning. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, a plan for welfare, not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Oh, yeah. Good morning, Pastor Seth. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Brother Al, we got some stuff to talk about this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So you got this bride and her caterer who decides to lace the people's food at the wedding. Should they be arrested, and what should they be, what kind of sentencing should they get?
Well, first and foremost, before I get in, say that, I would like to say, Kamika, don't get no ideas. I'm not going down for your nonsense, okay? I know
you
got your stuff in your backyard.
You
I know you got
what?
Your stuff in your backyard.
So
I am not going down
so
for your nonsense.
You
got to put
God.
It out there. You got to put it out there. I ain't going down for her nonsense. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing is, man, you know, that's crazy. They should be arrested for that because you don't know who was allergic to what. You don't know who was taking what type of medicine. And you're going to, I mean, what, I'm trying to figure, what was your purpose of spiking the food? Now, I heard spiking drinks, but this is the first time I've ever heard spiking food. And what was your purpose of doing that? I'm trying to figure that out. Yeah, but they definitely should be arrested because you put this in people's system without their consent. Oh, they definitely should go to jail for that. And the caterer just as crazy. Why you went along with it? So you just as guilty.
Right. Right. Because now where you could have gotten other business, you're not getting the business no more.
Oh, yeah, she's
now
done.
You're going
she's
to jail.
Done.
You're going to jail. Who's going to hire your company to feed my people? No.
Right.
No. What kind
and
of
time? And she put herself out there because if you notice, they didn't say the bride name. They said a bride. And then they said your whole company name.
Right. Right. Her name and the company name. Yep.
Yep.
So that ain't anonymous no more. You're absolutely right,
yeah,
Brother
yeah.
Al. What kind of time should they get, Brother Al?
Let me see here. The time. Man, for every person that got sick, they should get 2 years for each person.
Ooh, you bringing the gavel down. Ah.
I'm bringing it down. 2 years for each person.
Wow. Well, I hope that wasn't a 200-member wedding. Man. They all jacked up then. All right, Brother Al, we got the Michelle Obama's brother, Mr. Robinson, and his wife, who is on the other side of the fence, by the way, who's going after school for their racial bias. And down to, you know, expelling their children, the harsher punishment for the people on our side of the fence, as well as going back to tell the story about how they had the fourth grade class reenact the Underground Railroad. Oh my gosh. And let the students dress up like slaves and run around the school in the dark, Brother Al. And the teachers were acting like slave masters who captured the students.
Everybody should be fired. You know, and you will be amazed on how much this goes on in these schools, especially if the school is dominant one color. If it's more whites than black, and some of the kids don't understand, you know, just yet on racial slurs and racial things that's going on. And it's crazy. And everybody in that school should be fired. Everybody who was involved should be the principal, assistant principal. The principal had to know. Ain't nobody turned no lights out and you just sat in your office and didn't know what was going on.
Right.
You knew what was going on. You should be doing work in the light bulb. You know something wrong. So you should
Absolutely.
Be fired, assistant principal, all of guidance counselor, everybody. You got to go. Because that's just ridiculous, man. And you know, with these acts going on, it's just showing you how strong this racial nonsense is. And you got a lot of people that's blind to it, thinking, no, okay, well, that was back in the days. No, it's here in these days, and it's even stronger now because we also have social media and the internet. It's even stronger.
Absolutely.
The Ku Klux Klan are not wearing the hoods no more. They use the internet. They use the computer. They use the social media. So it's even stronger now.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Brother Al. Oh, and let's talk about Mayor Eric Adams. Give me a chance, man. I'm gonna start calling him Give Me a Chance, Man. Let me make sure that's his quote. Hold on. When y'all start, I'm no longer saying, you're the first person I'm telling that I'm no longer calling him Mayor Eric Adams. I'm calling him Mayor Give Me a Chance. Is that what he said? Hold on. Let me make sure. I don't want to misquote him. Shut up, Al. Give me an opportunity. That's what I'm calling him. Mr. Give Me an Opportunity. Okay? So are you as disturbed as I that he said, well, 4 months in, give me an opportunity? And why give me an opportunity? Because they look like me. Oh, man, I'm mad.
That had to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Do you know what you just look like saying that? And you hit it right on the head when you were saying it. If you did this stuff from the beginning, you went in. You went at these people. Oh, you got to get vaccinated. If you don't, you can't work. And you got rid of all these people who've been working for years because they disagree with the vaccination. Now things go down. Now you want to come talking about give you an opportunity to fix it. You had an opportunity back then to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, and what I'm noticing about him, he's too busy sticking his nose where he shouldn't be at instead of concentrating on what he needs to concentrate on. You know, like at one time he was doing something with the school. This is why we got a school counselor. This is why we have a school counselor to take care of the problems. Step back from that. Take care of what you need to do. So he, oh, my God. He said that. I'm like, oh, because they look like me. Are you serious?
So what are you saying for those that don't look like you? Because there's a whole lot of them up in there that don't look like you. So what are you saying, Dodo?
Right. So now you sound like a racist.
Right.
Now you sound like a racist.
Right. That the only reason why, you know, you want some justice for these people is because they look like you. And you want, but listen, he then says, I want them to be able to serve their time with dignity, come home and be productive citizens and in society. So the other ones you don't want this for. Because, see, although you didn't come out and say that, that's why you can't preface this part, I want them to be able part with, they look like me. Just say I want to get, you know what, I haven't had a chance to get up in there and do what I need to do. I got a little distracted, blah, blah, blah. But forget about all the other piece, Dodo. I'm just done with
you. Yeah, he messed up with all of, because like you said, he sounds like a racist. Like you only just want to help your people, you know. You sound like Trump for a minute. You know what I'm saying? So he messed that one up.
Oh, thank you for joining us, Brother Al. I'll be back to talk. We got some stuff to talk about. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Let me talk to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am happy. Girl, I haven't been to bed. I have not been to bed. Oh. I'm up. I'm delirious. I might sound like I'm getting dementia because I have had no sleep. But I'm good. I am good. Oh. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Pastor Charlene. So let's get to talk about these people. You and your caterer lace your wedding reception food. How sick are you?
I'm real sick. My thought was, wow, now, just like it was said, now they putting it in the food. And since when the drug dealers now, they got their own little catering going on. Wow.
Talk about expansion. Talk about expansion, Pastor Charlene. We all up in the wedding reception. Woo!
Absolutely.
You know,
now, okay, go ahead.
I want you to comment on this in addition to what you're going to say. You know, now you didn't anticipate that when you legalized marijuana that you would be experiencing all of this. Add that
the
to your comment.
Absolutely. The doors have opened since they did this. We ain't seen nothing yet. It's in the cake, like you said. It's going to be in everything. What's those, the juice bars, you know, the ones that you go when you get the little juice things. It's going to be all there as well. My thought was, at weddings, we have children.
Yep.
You have. Yep. So now you endanger everybody. The grandma, like Brother Al said, you just have different medication. You know, because you're not separating the food. Everybody comes for a wedding, first of all. Everybody come to eat. Everybody come to eat. So if you lace it in just the food, and then you lace it into the cake, and then they have alcohol, right? Now you got the bar. So now you having a mixture of all different kind of things, and then they bring in their own little stuff in their own pocketbook. You know they do that too. So you figure after a while, all of that stuff start hitting each other. Yes, somebody is going to be on death's door as well. And once they said that it's okay, so now it's going to be like, but where do we go from here? How are we going to stop that?
Right.
There is
right.
No stop for that.
Yep. You just open the doors. The floodgates have been wide open. Wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, all right. What about our racial reenactment of the Underground Railroad, where you didn't put the children in slaves' clothes, run them around, turn out the lights, and act like the teachers are the slave masters. Oh, goodness gracious. Every time I say it, it just hits me all over again.
So ridiculous. Becoming very angry of what are we teaching these children. I agree. Everybody who knew about it, everybody who participated, everybody. Not just lose your job and get locked up because you endangering our children. You turned the lights off. Let's just do the lights. By you turning the lights off, we're bumping into things. We're falling on top of each other because everybody is running, you know, and what are you teaching? And what else are you showing them? And why are the parents, you think that this is okay? Because this ain't start from there.
Mm-mm.
And then on
nope.
top of that, what about the homework that you are doing when you pick your child's school? You mean to tell me that you didn't do your homework to see what's going on, what kind of activities they having, what kind of lessons they're teaching, what kind of teachers that your child is sitting up underneath? Everybody is at fault.
All right. Give me an opportunity, man.
Oh.
What's your thought? He's no longer Mayor Eric Adams. He is give me an opportunity, man. They look like me, Pastor Charlene.
Like you said, everybody in there ain't your color. Everybody in there didn't do the same crime. He needs to go sit down because he crazy. I was going to say another word, but we can't say stupid. Okay.
You can't
sit with He can't fix what he already started. Because somebody else come in and say that they're going to take handle it, you got to have your name in everything. You have to be a part of everything. You didn't do it. I agree. You said people can't come to work. You put a whole bunch of people in danger because once they are the numbers go down of the people of the security, now you have them in danger. You can't do this. And stop thinking that you the headline of everything. He getting on my nerves too. He getting on my nerves too. The little things that he should be trying to do, you have not proved yourself in anything that you have done yet. Nothing that has been accomplished, that has been whatever that you stated, you said that it happened. You've been falling back on everything. Everything. Look at the kids' school. So go sit down in the corner. Just go sit down because you get on my nerves.
Thank you for joining us, Pastor Charlene. I'll be back to have more conversation. Where's my girl, Tamika? Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning, good morning, good a.m. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
Good. Very good. Glad to hear. All right. Come on, let's go. Shoot. Caterer, bride, lacing people's food. What are you doing? Endangering everybody.
All right. First, I want to say, you know, to Brother Al, it's about to be legal, so I'm good. I'm good, right?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I told you.
Oh my goodness.
But seriously, you know, on the one side, you're trying to figure out why, you know, Junebug keeps getting caked, you know. The other thing is that you need to have twice as much food because after you eat the cake, you're gonna want more food because you got the munchies. But you know, on the serious side of that, you know. You don't know how this stuff is going to affect somebody. We already mentioned elders. We mentioned children. We didn't mention people that are, you know, medicated, you know, that already are already taking medicine. You know, you don't know how it's going to affect anybody. You didn't even think about it. No consideration for anybody. You just wanted to see, I guess, how people act, you know, and you know, it only, I guess in this case, it only affects people who had the cake, but still, it's just, you know, you don't need, the person who ingested it has no idea what's going on. All of a sudden, you know, something is in their body is not right and they don't know why. And you didn't give them the courtesy. You know, at least say, okay, this cake is laced. You know, this cake is fine. But this one, you know, there's no sign, no nothing. And so you're jeopardizing people's lives, you know, your business, your welfare. There was no thought. You couldn't tell me that you thought about that before you did it.
Well, my dear, they say everything from the lasagna and brownies to the chocolate-covered strawberries and alcohol pudding shots. So you didn't stand a chance. You didn't stand a chance.
I would have been done just on the strawberries and the chocolate-covered strawberries because I know you. I would have grabbed a couple of them, and when I'm done, I would have got some more.
Okay. Yes, no, they lace the food with it.
Oh, my God.
This is not like the other dummy who was at the sister's wedding, and when she asked him to make the cake, he snuck and put it in the cake. No, this was in the food. This is why they got locked up, because nobody stood a chance at this point. You really didn't give anybody any options. So, no, it's a little more than the cake. They went buck wild. They went buck wild. All right, so what about this reenactment of the Underground Railroad? Now, this is the best you could do to reenact the Underground Railroad?
This whole thing is just crazy. And, you know, we've heard many episodes of foolishness done by people who trivialize, you know, what the struggle was, you know. For instance, you know, the thing just keeps coming up. You know, we've had episodes of planking, you know, and what people don't realize about planking is, you know, it was the way that they laid people down in the slave trades on the boat. And so, you know, the other side of the fence finds it funny. What planking is you lay face down with your arms, you know, close to your body. And, you know, at one point we had a season of people taking pictures of themselves laying in that position. I don't find that funny. You know, it's not a joke, you know. And a lot of things that we have brought from our past and we recognize in our present, you know, you trivialize, you laugh at it, and then later on you're doing it, you know. And I'm just really, really tired of it, you know. And I think Brother Al is right. That only happens in schools where, you know, it's majority one side or the other. You know, I remember my first school that I went to, there were only three Tamekas, and we were the only dark-colored students, you know. And even with that, there were subtleties that if you're not cognizant of what's going on, you're going to miss it all. You know, and there's traces of it everywhere you look. And if you think it's just, oh, it's just this, oh, it's just that, no, it really is what you think it is. And don't look past it, especially if you've got children in school and they're telling you things. Listen in. Please tune in to what your children are saying, because you never know what they're really saying.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And last but not least, Mayor, give me an opportunity. You know, what say you about his statement?
He kind of reminds me of somebody who just can't sit still. You know, you tell them to do this, and you tell them to go sit down over there, they're doing something over here. You tell them to go over there, and they go somewhere else entirely. Like, I feel like your game plan or what you said that you were going to do, you were supposed to be focusing on the streets. Now you want to do the schools. Now you want to do this. And now you want to do that. You keep saying, give me a chance. Why don't you focus on what you told us? You know, the thing that bothers me is that a lot of what he did prior to coming in, he talked about the streets and he, you know, talked about black people and how he was going to help us. And, you know, but what I need you to do is focus on the whole, not, you know, we're not the only people in New York. And there are a whole lot of people that need assistance. And so when you say, okay, they look like me, then you just bypass anybody else. So why should I care? You know, and it would amaze me if there's not a ruckus. You know, I mean, we know that prisons are set up basically on classifications and categories, but you're making it worse. You're not helping anything by saying something like that. Yeah, it might make somebody, you know, who's on our side of the fence feel, you know, maybe feel good, but you kind of dismiss the whole other, you know, line of people that need your help.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it would not have been so bad if you did not follow it up with the other statement. So you're just a mess. Thank you for joining us, my dear. And we will be back to talk about more stuff. Shantese, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. That's good. All right. You're the last one. Let's run this down. You go to the wedding. You're happy. You embroidered a gift.
Right? Because I ain't buying nothing.
You embroidered a gift. You done wrapped it up all nice. You go and you want to celebrate with your coworker or your girlfriend, and you have something else more than what you bargained for. And you found out that you got sick because she and the caterer planned on this joke of lacing your food. What are you saying?
Actually, Pastor Steph, you took the words right out of my mouth, because one of the first things that came to mind was, I'm so tired of the powers that be saying, we allow you to do this, but then you want to try to put a cap on what people can do. You cannot tell people they can do something and then tell them that there's limitations. It, like, you don't see that this doesn't work. I was over it. Well, I was really over it before that. But I was really over it once I found out that some people who cook put weed in their butter. And I was like, all right. So see, now I can't come over and be okay with you making me some toast because I don't know if your butter is laced with weed. Like, see, once I got to start thinking all that, I don't need to be around you. I don't need to be around where you eat. I don't need to be around where you cook. And it doesn't even mean that you would give that to me intentionally. Maybe you might be sleepy and mix up your butters. I don't want to be around if that mistake happened. So this was just beyond. And as a bride, you really got time to think about adding weed to your menu. I thought the bride already had enough to, you know, concern herself with, but obviously not. That was ridiculous.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because I thought the same thing. I'm like, you actually paid for this? So your menu, you know, that part of your of the expense of your wedding wasn't expensive enough. You had to add in the weed. Okay, so you got a little too much money as well.
Right, because that costs money to add the weed to the dessert alone, let alone the appetizers and the entree.
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to take a brown bag when we go to the weddings from now on. I don't know. All right. The reenactment of the Underground Railroad. Harriet Tubman ain't got nothing on these people here, girl. What's going on?
Well, obviously, this isn't a predominantly black school because there's no way you turning off the light in a black school and the teachers don't get jumped when the kids stay on site. They ain't fighting because you would have turned the lights back on. It would have been a massacre up in that school. You would have thought that the teachers were playing the masters. No, the teachers would have been the slaves. Okay? Well, you already know that this wasn't no black school. So the joke would have been on them. The joke would have been on them.
Where's Brother Al? Oh, my goodness.
It's really sad. And see, this is why I keep asking God, like, do you want me to have kids? Because there is no way. There is no way my child could come home and like someone said, I think it was Pastor Charlotte said already, forget even getting to the point of y'all playing play shit. There's no way my child could come home and tell me the lights was off for 4 seconds and I'm like, okay, so what happened? Oh, it stayed off. That's enough alone to have me go up to the school and cut all the lights off. Let alone now hearing that there's this reenactment. So y'all have time to do this? What happened to math and social studies and remedial work and making sure that the kids can keep up with the other kids? And, like, what, you really, there's way too much time. And, again, they do this because they can get away with it. As I said, you can tell where the school was. You can tell which side of the fence the school was really leaning more towards, because there's no way. If you were in a different type of community, you would have had way too many concerns to even consider this. This is like, I don't understand.
Oh, goodness. That was funny. That sounds like, where's Brother Al? Where is Brother Al?
I'm here.
Yeah, it's like, you know this is true, though. You know this is true, where had that been, you know, her pocketbook would have been missing.
Oh, yeah, money would have been missing. A couple of teachers would have got swung on. Yo, I ain't like to keep the lights off. Let me get my idea now.
They would have stole the teacher's asthma pump.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, hurry up. I'm trying to get that light back on.
Yes.
You know,
so I get the light.
Wait, God forbid.
Put the light back on.
God forbid they had a good iPhone. Man, that would have been
gone.
Oh,
that phone gone.
Right. Joke on you. Ha ha.
It already been plotted. Your life gonna be off. Yo, this is what we're gonna do.
Oh my goodness, I got a headache. Oh my goodness gracious. All right, y'all. Thank you for joining us, Shantice. And we are about to play Rip from the Headlines, man. This is crazy. All right, so the first story. All right. My sister got knocked up by her boyfriend right out of high school, got married the next year, then proceeded to pop out another baby every year or two. So she has four now at 24. She's a stay-at-home mom, even though she was brilliant and could have gotten a free ride to a great university. Since hers are the only grandkids, our parents fawn over her like she's the next coming of Christ. They gush over every new tooth or haircut like it's some huge achievement. Problem is, her husband's business wasn't great even before COVID and is barely limping along now. Sister doesn't work and my parents have limited income. So guess who's constantly being told to lend them money, like school fees, car seats, car payment, new stroller, etc. They don't even ask. My mom just texts me, your sister needs X, Y, and Z for the kids and I'm supposed to cough it up. If I complain, they accuse me of being jealous because I don't have a husband and family, even though I'm older. I'm only 26. So over Easter, I noticed my sister isn't drinking, and I think, oh, God, here we go again. Sure enough, she stands up and announces that she's been inseminated with yet another precious miracle. Everyone's gushing, and I just try to stay quiet and out the way. Later, she asks me if everything's all right, and I try to play it off, but she pushes, so I asked her if she and her husband could really another baby. She very snippily replies, God will provide like he has so far, which really pissed me off. I yelled, no, actually, God didn't provide for her babies. I did, and I wasn't going to give them any more handouts. It evolved into a big argument with everyone shouting at me, and basically I've been banned from my family unless I apologize. I haven't apologized. It's been radio silence except for one text from my mom saying that if my sister miscarries, it's my fault for stressing her out. I asked if my sister was showing any symptoms, but no one will answer or tell me. I'm not apologizing. Should I apologize now? All right, Brother Al, you're the first one at this.
Okay. First and foremost, it's a blessing that they're not speaking to you. Then they won't ask you for no money. That's
yeah,
number one.
That's what I thought.
I'd have been changed my number. They wouldn't have been able to get in contact with me. Anybody got Al's number? It says it's disconnected. Like she need to get away from that family. You know, you want to lay up and have all these babies, then you and your husband need to rethink what y'all doing. Both of y'all need to get some jobs. Why are you at home? If you know you can't afford, so you're just sitting back and just gonna live off your sister. Hey, we need some. I ain't gonna ask my sister. I'll tell mom, and mom will tell her. Oh no! I'm glad y'all ain't speaking to me. Don't call me. Matter of fact, what else can I say to make you mad till you won't call me?
Woo!
That's selfish. That's very selfish. That's selfish of them.
Mm. All right, Pastor Charlene. Brother Al says they're selfish. Don't call me.
That's right. Don't call me. I'll be glad to. Why you keep having these babies that you can't take care of? Why am I the only breadwinner taking care of everybody? Because everybody is don't have no money. So, yes, don't call me. We're cool. It's okay. Even though that I know you're going to still call, because whenever somebody get in a bind, even though they're mad right now, oh, they will still call because something else is going to happen. But for her to, for the mother to put her child on a guilt trip about the baby that her sister's having, if something happens, that's not fair to her. And you said that so you can be able to push her to make her. So stand on, she needs to stand on her 2 feet, and it's okay. Y'all don't want to talk to me, it's okay. Move on. No, don't give them nothing else. You've done enough.
All righty. Tamika, what say you?
Well, the way that I see it, she wouldn't have gotten to baby number five. When we started having difficulty with baby number one, that would have been the first issue. You know, okay, maybe I might have helped you with the first. And by the second time, I'm tired now. So you told me that God will provide, so I'm going to sit back and watch. You know, I love you, but no. Because that's the issue also. You know, people have a tendency to believe, especially when you don't have children or you don't have a spouse, that your money is their money. I've seen it, and I can personally attest to it, that, like, oh, well, you're supposed to. No, I'm not. You know, and so, again, like Brother Al said, that's a blessing that y'all not talking to me. It's okay. You know, and maybe she needs to go ahead and move to a place, you know, move out if she's living with her parents. Find someplace else to live, you know, get yourself established so that you don't have to deal with the stress.
All righty. Shantice, God will provide like he always has. Ooh, baby.
Well, I want to know how you can afford to keep your phone on to call me if you need my help. That means you got money. So why am I giving you money? Your priorities are all wrong. You ain't no phone. And I bet it's not even an Obama phone. No. So you claim God will provide, then if you have not given him room to provide you with information to keep your legs closed, then I don't know what you expect him to provide you with. And mama, you getting beside yourself? Yeah, you. At the subscriber's request, this caller is no longer accepting calls. And I'm going to document each time you call me, because I'm going to add up each month you could afford to pay that phone bill. And now you getting a bill, an invoice, because I want my money back.
Wow. All righty. Ready? Ripped from the headline. I used to have skin problems for most of my life. I'm 30 years old, and recently I finally got a chance to start wearing makeup. Yet my husband consents, except he thinks the eyeshadow colors are too wild. He told me to tone it down because some of these eyeshadows give strangers the wrong impression. I look like a woman who walks the streets. I took his opinion under consideration, but he still wasn't happy. He asked that I use nude colors and give up the blue, purple, red, and the light colors. I refused. Yesterday, I discovered he threw away all my 3 eyeshadow palette sets. His reasons was that I wore inappropriate colors when we visited his parents. I yelled at him saying he never should have touched them. He said he already gave me a warning about it and I shouldn't act shocked. I told him this is ridiculous and that I expect him to pay me for every single palette he threw out. Not just that, but get the same shades and colors. He said it wasn't his fault. I brushed him off and refused to listen when he said I was looking like a clown and was embarrassing him. Now this made me feel so offended. I refused to talk to him after that. He told me I was making a mountain out of a molehill, and I said I need to start thinking about using, and he says I need to think about using colorless shades that don't pop up like the ones I use. He needs to pay me back, or I'm not talking to him anymore. Am I right, or is he right? Come on, Pastor Charlotte.
Okay, so she's making sure I'm understanding. She's wearing different colors. He says she's looking like a street lady, and he doesn't like it, right? And so now
right.
you threw my stuff away. Okay, so now you threw my stuff away because you felt how you feeling. So then that just turns into a tit for tat, because now some of the clothes that you wear, I don't like, or some of the things
oh.
that you know, that you like,
oh.
now it's going to turn into a tit for tat.
Oh, my goodness. And this is what the pastor is saying. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so Pastor Charlotte, what you throwing out first?
Oh, I'm definitely throwing out some of them shirts, and I'm throwing out some of them suits I don't like. Oh yeah, I've done that.
Wow.
I've done that.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
That's
dog life. Oh, my goodness.
I will replace it, though. If I take something away, I will replace it, and I'll tell you why. You know, that it didn't look good on you. It made you look like a clown. There was just this one suit I'll never forget. He thought that it looked good on him. And the shirt that he put it with didn't go with, wasn't the color in the suit. I don't know
wow.
if you
can
see. Wow. So I took all that away, and I took him,
oh.
and I bought him some more. I'm not going to throw it away and don't replace it. See, at least I'm nice like that.
But
so
what if
you
didn't like what you bought?
Right. Why you
huh?
just couldn't just buy the new thing? Why you had to throw away the old thing?
Because it didn't look good on him.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, Tamika, what say you? Pastor Charlotte is throwing stuff out the closet. What say you?
I'm not one to throw things away because I know how I am about things, my things being thrown away. I would mention it. You know, listen, such and such, you got to get rid of it. You know, but the thing with the makeup thing, you know, we're always, as females, trying to look good. We just talked about yesterday about, you know, trying to, you know, make yourself look, if it makes me feel pretty, you know. And I believe, honestly, he was only trying to look out for her best interest as well as his own. You know, a lot of times when you're couples, when you're together, I'm supposed to make you look good and vice versa. So I'm sure he intentionally, you know, was just trying to say, hey, you know, that's a little much. Tone it down. And my thing is, you know, especially in marriage, you got to negotiate. You got to find a way to negotiate. She could have found a way to tone it down and not make it look so, you know, so hideous to him, you know. And maybe it might also be the thing that when they first started, here's another thing. When they first started, she wasn't wearing makeup, and now it's an assault to him. It's something that he has to get adjusted to. Another thing, he could have said it a little nicer, you know, kind of worked with it. He didn't have to throw her things out. Maybe, you know, they could negotiate where she would wear it a couple of days and then not wear it for a little while. Throwing things out, that for me, it's extreme.
Okay. Shanti's. Oh, boy.
You're going to stop criticizing my spiritual progress. I wouldn't throw it out anymore. You know, that was in my former life. Now,
okay.
I'm just not going out with you if you look like this. So you make the choice. Are you going out alone? Then wear the makeup. If you want us to go out, then you either tone it down or you wear nothing. And one thing about, I was in a relationship once with someone who despised any time I put anything on my face. I could have put a little concealer under my eyes and you would have thought I put a blowtorch to my face. It, for men, a lot of the time, it does seem very extra. And I have to honestly say, there's some women that I look like. Do you look in the mirror before you walk outside, or do you just throw the makeup in the air in the dark, or wherever it landed and landed and you just left? Because you was looking wicked. Okay, but for whatever the reason, and again, coming from someone who at one time drove myself crazy because I was obsessing over the way my face looked. You know, I didn't do it with makeup, but, you know, maybe with other things. But a lot of times you can overdo it a lot. So there may not have been a lot of consideration taken on her end, you know, because she already has it in her head how she wants her face to look and what she's trying to cover up. Let's just say what she's trying to cover up. So if it was a lot, it could have been I'm putting a lot of makeup on because I feel like I have to cover up a lot. But I don't. Throwing the makeup out now, you just started a whole other war. Like, you just had this situation grow multiple legs now. So I don't agree with throwing it out. My personal thought is I just won't leave the house with you if this is the way you're looking before I throw your stuff out.
All right, all right. Brother Al, the only man on the panel.
First, I'd like to say, Pastor Shala and Shantice is crazy. That's number one. That's number one. Well, you know, I'm not going to throw your stuff out. That I'm not going to do. And sometimes, you know, you have females that don't understand that makeup is to enhance the beauty that you already have. When you put makeup on and you look like a total different person, I got a problem with that. You know, and I would go to you and say, listen, babe, you got all those colors on. That's not looking at you. It don't look good on you like that. Now, if you choose to ignore me and, well, I'm going to wear my makeup anyway, this and that, then I'm going to have to go Shantice way. Well, okay, well, you know what? You can do that, but you're not going to wear with me like that. And I came to you nicely, and I told you it don't look right on you. It just don't. And you said, forget you, I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, then I'm going to take that route where, okay, well, when you go out, you're going to have to go out by yourself. I'm not going to go out with you.
All
I'm not
right.
going to throw it away, though. I'm not going to throw your stuff away.
All right, all right. Ah, rip from the headlines. I have a daughter from a previous relationship. Her father, she's 6 years old. Her father has no contact with her, and my husband of 2 years is as close to a father she has ever known. My daughter was born deaf and communicates via sign language. I am fluent, having learned alongside her and my husband, while not fluent, is getting there as he wants to be able to communicate with her fully and also help teach any children we have together to communicate with their older sister. We went to his parents for an Easter dinner. His siblings and nieces, nephews were all there, and we, of course, brought my daughter. All the kids were very happy to get plenty of chocolate and play together. The issue rose, however, during dinner, as my daughter kept putting her fork and knife down to sign with me and my husband to talk. It was causing her to eat slower than everyone else, and my mother-in-law asked me to tell her to not sign at the dinner table as the food was going to get cold, plus it was setting a bad example and distracting for the other kids. I won't beat around the bush. I got angry. I told my mother-in-law that this is how my daughter communicates, and I'm not going to make her not sign. I did encourage my daughter to continue eating before her dinner got cold, but to not sign, no. That pisses me off and makes me think of people who have tried to make my daughter play the quiet hands game, a.k.a. not sign. I told my mother-in-law the only way she could ask that of my daughter is if she told everyone else not to talk at all. We ended up leaving a little early, and my husband, while supportive of me, has tried to tell me that his mother didn't mean any real harm, and she doesn't get why this would be a sensitive topic. I've refused to speak to my mother-in-law since that dinner and won't until she apologizes. My husband thinks I'm being a bit too harsh, and I need to be the one to reach out with an olive branch on this matter. But I can't help but feel if this had been her biological grandchild who was deaf, she wouldn't have said something so insensitive or implied it was a distraction and bad example. Am I right, or is she right? Tamika.
So what I'm not going to do, you know, I'm right with this wife, you know. You are basically telling my child to be silent at the table. This is how she communicates, you know. And did you want her to talk with the fork and the knife in her hand? You know, I just think that that's just really, you know, I could see since you're so offended, let her keep the fork and the knife in hand as she's got broccoli. It's flinging, you know, all type of gravy and mashed potatoes all over the table because you have a problem with her putting her hands down. So let's just, you know, I would literally sign to her, just keep eating. And if you've got a fork, just don't mind it. Whatever flings across the table, it's fine since mommy-in-law has a problem. You know, I just think that's really extremely insensitive, and I vouch for the wife any day. I vouch for her.
All righty, all righty. Shanties.
All right. I just set myself backwards in my spiritual progress because the first thing that came to mind was, I'll apologize if I could apologize via sign language over the phone. if I can do that, then I'll apologize. You must be out your rabbit. And not FaceTime, audio talk. I'll sign language. I'm sorry. Are you dumb? Like, what? Why? It was something you said, Pastor Seth, insensitive isn't even the word. I think that word is too intellectual for this mother-in-law. Already she's handicapped. So see how easy it was for you to open your mouth and say something stupid? Unfortunately, my daughter can't just open her mouth and start talking. Or she just can't hear the fork drop. Or thank God she can't hear super stuff that she just said automatically. You know, but if she has to speak, and like your mother said, I understand, you know, because it's like you tell, you know, the child who's able to hear and speak and everything, don't talk so much at the table. But especially you not stopping everybody else who's talking, but you want my daughter, because she has to use her feet. If you want my daughter to now stop talking, and then now I'm supposed to apologize and say what? What is supposed to be in this apology? What am I supposed to say? No, I'll apologize like that.
All righty.
I think that's Mayor Eric's wife.
Oh, goodness gracious. Come on, Brother Al, what we got?
I'm sitting here cracking up. You know, we got to do a better job. We got to do a better job with our daughter, Shantice. Shantice is crazy. We got to do a better job with her. Our daughter is crazy. We got to do a better job now.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I don't think she should apologize, you know. And I do agree with her. If that was her original grandchild, she wouldn't have said nothing because grandparents are very protective of their grands. So if that was her original grandchild, she wouldn't have said nothing. I don't believe she would have said anything. She saw them talking, and it was like, okay, why are they doing that? You know, so I think the grandmother was just being a little mean, and the wife shouldn't apologize. You know, if I was the son, I'd be like, Mom, you know, you need to apologize. That was wrong for you doing that. You know, so no, she shouldn't apologize, not at all. That's not her fault.
All right. Pastor Charlotte. I'm becoming afraid to call your name. No.
Okay. I'm on the wife's side as well. I think that the mother is mad because she didn't know the conversation that they was having, and she was just nosy, so she felt left out. I agree that if it was her own grandchild, she would have felt a little better. Now, everybody at the table is talking, so, and you talk about there's other kids, so, you know, they screaming, hollering, and acting crazy at the table. But it's just because you was mad, you didn't know what they was talking about, and you felt that maybe they was talking about you. See, that was my
wow. Okay. I'm impressed. You're not throwing peas across the table at mother-in-law. All right.
I'm shocked. No violence. I'm shocked. No violence.
Yeah. No peas throwing. No peas throwing across the table. All right. Ripped from the headline. My wife and I have one son together who's 29. My wife has always been very protective of son and just wants the best for him. Son came out as bisexual his junior year of high school, and my wife had a hard time adjusting. Son and wife do have a relationship, but not as close. Son is engaged to a woman that is transitioning to a male. He is a very nice person, and I am so happy they found each other. My wife talked nonstop about going dress shopping, and he told her that he wanted to wear a nice tuxedo. I took his fiance shopping for a tuxedo and even helped with some of the cost. Their wedding is in June, and everything is almost ready. Many family members and friends are attending. We went out to celebrate with some family, and when son asked wife if she was excited for the wedding, she says, "Oh, honey, I'm not going." Son asks why, and she says, "Because it's not the wedding I pictured for you, and I can't stand your fiance." I quickly pulled my wife aside and started scolding her for being so rude to son and his fiance. We got into a huge argument, and I took her home. She hasn't spoken to me since the event, and son wants to go no contact with her. What should we do going forward? Shantice.
All right, so the male child is engaged to a woman child who's about to be a man child.
Right.
Well, maybe the mother's just confused, because that just confused me. I'm serious. Like, I don't understand how the, okay, so, I mean, I can understand why I wouldn't go to the wedding. But if you're not going just because there's some maliciousness behind, you know, oh, I don't like you today because you're not eating a bag of chips that I like, you know, some petty like that. If your reasons are petty, and that's what the son is now, that's the vibe he's getting, not because you really have a feeling toward, you know, because I just had this conversation with someone past stuff, like, oh, so if, you know, you have to be realistic with what's going on around here now, Shanti. So if your niece was to become gay, you wouldn't go to her wedding? Absolutely not. Aunt wouldn't go to her wedding? Absolutely not. She would know that her favorite aunt loves her, but I'm not supporting that. And she would know why I'm not supporting that. Not because it's Tuesday and I don't want to come to your wedding, but because I cannot support a homosexual marriage. So if you're basing it on something like that, like regardless of who it is, you have to stand by something like that. That's one thing. I feel like if you're just doing it to be petty and all that, you really have to make sure you straighten that out, especially with this being your child. And I would understand why the child would now say, okay, I'm good off my mother. You know, I don't have to talk to her. She doesn't have to come. I don't want her around, because now you're just showing that you're being petty. So the mother has to really check her motives and her intentions for not wanting to go, and her motives and intentions for why she's now dealing with a child like this, especially with them having such a strong relationship all these years, almost 30 years,
you know, you really have to make sure you're presenting it, even if it's on like a stance as the example that I gave. It still has everything to do with your presentation, everything to do with that. So I feel like she really has to check that. And I think once she checks that and writes her wrong with that, there will be a strong possibility of them reconciling and, you know, however she decides to move forward with going to the wedding or not. But it'll still set a better precedent for their relationship.
Now, I believe she did, because she said, I'm not going because it's not the wedding I pictured for you. So isn't that way of saying what you were saying about the choices that you made? Not this last part, not the last part, what I don't like your fiance. I ain't talking about all of that, but the first part. You know, would that be equivalent? You know, you said it more eloquently. You know, she just flat out said, "That's not what I pictured for you." Is that the same thing, in your opinion?
But then she pitched in for the wedding. Didn't she put money?
No, I don't see that.
I'm sorry. I think she said she contributed to something, and the father said he even put in to help the fiance, the son's fiance.
She said she was excited about going shopping for a dress, and he took the fiance out and bought the tuxedo. It says, my wife's talked nonstop about going dress shopping, and he told her that he wanted to wear a nice tuxedo. I took his fiance shopping for a tuxedo and even helped with some of the cost. So it's the dad who helped with some of the cost. Right.
Oh, and the wife was excited about what she was going to wear.
Right. Right.
So how are you excited about what you're going to wear, but you don't want to go support? I'm telling you.
Well, maybe she thought about it. Maybe she thought about it.
Okay.
Maybe she thought about
it.
All righty. Brother Al, what say you?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I'm proud of Shanti. There was no violence involved. I'm proud of you, baby girl.
You know,
no violence. No violence. I think the mother, she's looking at like, okay, that's my child. I got to support. And then she's thinking more about like, okay, this ain't right. So I think the mom is kind of confused on what to do. Okay, it is my child. Got to support. But then again, you know what? I don't like what's going on. So I think she's kind of confused. She needs to get it together on how she feel about it and stick to it. Now, as far as me, I ain't going to no party. I'm not going to the wedding because I don't support that. I do love you, and that's your choice because you've grown, but I don't support it. So I'm not coming to the wedding. I'm not coming to any engagement that you're putting together for this wedding. I'm not doing none of that. So I think the mother is just a little more confused.
Okay. Thank you. Pastor Charlene.
Yes. I got confused in it, too. I'm glad you repeated it because I was totally lost, too. But, no, I'm not coming. I love you, baby. You know you my child. You'll always be my child. But I'm not going to support it. And it sounds like the mother, like Brother Alder said, you know, it's confusing of which way are you going because people will make you feel guilty because it's your child. But if you don't stand for what you believe in, you know, it doesn't say that she's doing it because of her belief. Am I correct?
Right. It doesn't mention that.
That she's
no.
Not, okay. So, so still saying that she doesn't believe in this marriage, there's no need for her to be there. Because if she went, she's going to be very uncomfortable anyway. And your child already, you should have that conversation, you know, and let them know, this is what, I don't believe in this. And then that's it. But for me, no, I'm not coming.
Okay. And Tamika, you have the final word today. Say you.
Yeah, my heart goes out to mom. I think she might have been holding how she felt for the length of it. A lot of times, you know, as a parent, you kind of sit back and watch. You know, you want to, however, you know, your child is no longer a baby but an adult. And, you know, from what I'm seeing, maybe she might have just held how she felt and her emotions and that type of thing. And now you're asking me. You asked. So when you ask, I'm going to put it out there. And now that I'm putting it out there, you know, I don't really like this. You know, I was glad that, you know, you repeated. I'm so glad Shantice asked, because I myself was like, what in the world? You know, but I honestly believe that she held it, and now the day has come. You ask me, this is what you get. This is how I feel. This is not at all what I imagined, what I viewed for my child, you know, and I'm sure it had to break her heart to even verbalize how she felt, because I'm sure she held it for a long time. You know, whether she should or shouldn't, you know, no, who's to say? However, now it's out, and now the family is broken, and I guess her thing is if she had said it prior to, it might have caused damage way before. You know, who knows? You know, my heart goes out to, you know, all of the family members, because now there's pain based on what happened.
All righty. Oh, my due time crew. As always, I can rely on you. Okay, I might not be able to sing, but I can rap. And that was a rhyme right there, Brother Al. thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation. I pray you have a blessed day.
You all
thank you.
You as well.
Everybody as well.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. All righty. Woo. You know what I always say. I love Rip from the Headlines. Ooh, we get to see how the real world lives. All right, let's get to this benediction. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. Ooh, you know, you think you have problems until you hear stuff like this. You know, you've got several issues going on here, and you know, it amazes me, you know, how we end up, you know, in some of these dilemmas, and I'm talking about across the board, you know, we're talking about, you know, the mom who, you know, has decided that she's not going to the son's wedding, and I'm sure she's quite disappointed, you know, because again, she said it just like that. This is not, you know, what I had planned for you. This is not, you know, I thought this was going to be different. I didn't think, you know, I was going to be, you know, you know, witnessing something such as this. And I thought, you know, when I raised you, I thought this was going to be X, Y, and Z way. You know, she didn't put it, you know, in regards to her faith, because maybe there is none, or maybe she just opted not to say it that way. But, you know, when you know, unfortunately, I was just talking to somebody else about something similar to this. You know, when you come out, you know, this is, you're not only warring with the world. You sometimes have to war with your own parents over this, you know, decision that you've made. And, you know, a lot of times parents are made to feel really bad because they have not accepted the child's lifestyle when they decide to go this direction. And, you know, I think if the world has a hard time with it, what do you think the parent feels? The parent is the one who's invested everything into this child. So, you know, it's Tamika said, it's a sad situation all the way around, because you've got the child who feels like, you know, hey, I'm living my life the way I want to, and I'm expecting mom to, you know, accept it and participate and be there. And yes, she should not have said the part about, and I don't like the fiance. That was like, you know, the nail in the coffin. But, you know, she voiced how she felt. I can't support it. So, you know, it's think about how the father feels. You know, it's his son. Now the wife is not, you know, comfortable, and he has to hear and deal with her anxiety. And that's a lot. That's quite a bit. That's quite a bit. Oh, we got this other situation where, you know, grandma-in-law is trying to shut down the child who is signing, for God's sake. Signing. You know, can you imagine she's sitting at the table with the other children who can talk, and how she may feel about that, you know, and how she may feel like, you know, I'm not them and I can't do what they do. So maybe she was, quote unquote, talking a little bit more. Again, you don't know what goes on in people's minds. And for you to say, you know, she's not being fair, and she's setting a bad example and distracting. It's distracting for the other kids. What's the distraction? Again, stop putting all this stuff on the kids. These kids are much more resilient, and they just bypass all of this nonsense that we have hang-ups as adults over. They move on. All they want to do is play. So they're probably intrigued with this signing, and they probably enjoy, you know, doing it. And she's probably teaching them a couple of, you know, hand gestures and words. So stop, and stop being so insensitive. And I do agree with the panel. If this were her natural born grandchild, ain't no way in the world it wouldn't have been. I agree 100% with Brother Al. Grandparents are suckers for the grandchildren. They tried to kill us, but when it comes to these grandkids, they are clearly not the same. So if this was, you know, her natural-born granddaughter, you know, she'd be like, oh, come on, honey, you know, finish up your food. But that other part, that wouldn't even been mentioned at all. All right? This throwing out the eyeshadow, throwing out the, you know, your wife's belongings, you know, you overstep your boundaries now. You know, I agree with Shantice and Brother Al. Just take your stand. And if you honestly feel that she is misrepresenting herself and you, don't go out with her. And she needs to compromise. You know, your body is not your own when you're married. And if he's expressing that he's not comfortable, then you have to pay attention to that. You can't just say, this is my eyes and that's it. Let's stop that. Let's stop that. As far as the baby machine, cut it out. Mom, don't talk to me. I'm fine. I'm moving. You know, like Shanti said, that's what you would be hearing. Do-do-do. Do-do-do. Yeah, that's what you would be hearing. You ain't got to show me anything else other than shutting me down and telling me I'm going to give this person a miscarriage. You know, for what I'm feeling, and I'm taking care of the situation. Let's pay attention to the things we do and how we respond. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off? And I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time as always. And I want to thank you for listening and hanging out with us today. Please don't forget to give your life to Jesus right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Freestyle Friday, God spares our life. Until then, I love you.